us today. Well, actually, good afternoon. And we'll be continuing in our sermon series in the book of Judges. And again, if there's, we pray that the Lord would be merciful to us when it comes to the technology, the audio, and the video. Always grateful and blessed to be able to bring the word to the congregation. And we are grateful that God has sustained a Fellowship Baptist Church, as well as many of our friends in the ministry, through these troubling and unprecedented times in our country's history. The main thing we need to remember again is that God is in control. And when God finally starts to, after his patience has run out and he needs to discipline a nation or a group, unfortunately for Christians, we are part of that group, and we feel much of the pain and trouble of our nation, and we have to remember that God has to do these things at times. So we need to lean on him and also support one another, and we'll make it through. And this is how God cleanses a nation, how he cleanses his church, and how he cleanses families, as we forget who he is and how many of the blessings he has bestowed upon us. When we forget those things, he takes them away. And like spoiled children that sometimes forget everything they have comes from the hand of their parent, God has to remind us who is in control. And we have an especially wicked group amongst our elite nowadays that have completely turned their back on Christian ethics, what helped build the West, Europe, as well as her colonies like Australia and the United States and New Zealand. This great match that was like, as we say, peanut butter and jelly, basil and tomato sauce. It was Western thinking, wanting to understand things bigger than ourselves, epistemology and ontology and axiology, ethics and morals and aesthetics. And we found that with the Word of God. God's blessing, his Word, filled in many of the questions that Western philosophers for thousands of years have had. All knowledge is contained in the Lord Jesus Christ and in his Word. And it was a good match for a while. God used us to spread the gospel. But just like the Hebrew people we're going to read about in the Old Testament, the sons of the West, the sons of Europe who brought the Reformation as well as other things to the church have now fallen away. And they actually think that they are the ones that move the world when it's really God. And in their arrogance, we are now being disciplined as we see this European and anti-white campaign now. That's in full blast. But this is from the hand of God. He needs to discipline us. We really think we're that fantastic. So God has to remind us that it's not reason or our minds or our culture that brought positive change to the world and raised a living standard for everyone, for all people, but it was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that he trusted us with. And we've broken covenant with him. Some of our leaders now, they're openly Satanist Luciferians. Just look at their celebrations and the way they behave in public and their little elite, gang signs that they throw and stuff, throwing up the horns and all that and covering their eyes and thinking they're cute. That's fine. God is not entertained. He doesn't think it's funny, and God is disciplining us. So what we're doing, we're studying the book of Judges. We want to look at a group of people that God made covenant with, but they're a mess, much like we are today. And the wonderful thing is there is hope for us. So if you stay focused on the Word of God and on His commands, Jesus Christ is our rock, and He will give us a place to rest in Him, even during these troubling times. So let's pray, and then we'll get into our sermon. Lord Jesus, we thank You. We thank You for the honor of being able to pray in Your name. We thank You, our Father in heaven, that You are the living God, the true God, the one who reigns. We pray, Lord, that our sermon today, our message, would praise Your name, that myself as well as the congregation would get clear instruction from Your word, things that we can apply. We repent, Lord, for our sins in thought, word, and deed during the week as well as this day. We ask, Lord, based on the mercy that You give us through the work of Your Son, that we'd be in a right relationship with You. We ask, Lord, that You could keep the distractions to a minimum. And we pray, Lord, that the message would go out and that it would please You. And we pray, Lord, that the technology would work well today, that we'd be able to get the message to those who it's meant to reach. And we always ask this in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So, again, praying that the microphone level is fine and the camera is working well, that this message gets out to everyone, especially the Fellowship Baptist Church and our brothers and sisters in Christ, always grateful for what God has done for us. So we're continuing our study today. The book of Judges is a wonderful book. Everyone should be familiar with it. The book of Judges teaches us how important it is that we do the work, that we study our word, we learn God's principles, we learn Jesus' commands, the Ten Commandments, that we understand them, and then we could develop them in our family and in the church and in the state and our government outside the church, the three forms of government that we have. We need to be mature, and we need to have answers for the culture. Now, I told you, today also happens to be Mother's Day, and a number of years ago with the congregation, when I opened my sermon for Mother's Day, I said I want to say happy Mother's Day to all the mothers, and I also want to wish all the fathers that feel that they might be mothers, or the men that might feel that they're also mothers, happy Mother's Day. And I also want to wish the children who feel in their heart that they're really parents or maybe mothers also a happy Mother's Day. And everyone looked at me like I was crazy. But what I was trying to impress upon you, Fellowship Baptist Church of Coney Island, is that these days were coming. And now we have Bruce Jenner, the Olympic champion who used to be on the Wheaties box when I was younger, portraying himself as a woman and running for the governor of California, and people are actually calling him Caitlyn. And I told you, I warned you about fake conservatives and the fake Republican Party who says God, 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 and they are all hustlers and all play actors, as Jesus would call them, hypocrites, which is a Greek term for actors. And Sean Hannity actually sat there seriously and interviewed Caitlyn Jenner, and people actually talking about how conservative this mentally ill person who now is portraying himself as a woman is. So this is the scheme. We're slowly pushed into more confusion and perversion, and it's by design. So we need to know our Bible. We need to speak to our children. We need to give witness to our neighbors, those that will listen to us, and hold on to the faith, because in the Bible there is reality. And especially in the culture we have today, that is anti-reality, anti-science, everything is magic. We're going to have our first male power lifter who's going to beat all the women in the Olympics because he's a man biologically, but now claims to be a woman. So everything will be broken down. So the house is burning down, right? The roof is on fire. And the people are basically saying, we don't need any water, but we do need water. We need the water of baptism. We need to give the gospel to these insane people trapped in their sin. And we pray that they come back to reality and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, more sad than what's going on in the culture, we know we have a wicked world. And there will be wickedness in the world until the Lord Jesus comes again. That's a fact of life. We understand that. But what's extremely sad is those in the church, especially the leaders in the church, who we trust to be faithful and to be faithful to the word of God, that they are jumping on board with the world and they're going along with all this craziness. So we need to stand strong in the faith. The book of Judges is a wonderful book. It shows the pattern of sin that we all go through, that at times God's people go through. But the difference is we have the Lord Jesus Christ. He calls us to be faithful. The title of today's message is Nice Guys Finish Last. And in context, remember, everything in context, that's absolutely true. That idiomatic saying in our culture of nice guys finishing last, it's absolutely true. And what it means is this is the man that will be agreeable, wants to please everyone, doesn't want to start any trouble, doesn't want to strive because he might hurt someone's feelings or offend someone. Basically like a lapdog, just wants to be petted, will do anything you say. And this is the way many men behave, not only with their jobs, that there's no spirit of competition or striving in the Lord to be the best that you can be at your calling. They do this with women. They just throw themselves at the feet of women and really don't care about women. They're not committed to them. They just want certain things from women, and they've been taught that if you're just nice enough, you know, you'll get these things that you want. Well, this doesn't work. God calls us to be faithful, and if that offends people, so be it. So our job as men is to lead our families, is to lead our children, to push the society forward, to be a good witness for Christ, to be strong in Christ. And again, if that offends people, so be it. Let people say that you're not the nice guy. That's fine. Let them call you mean, a bigot, a racist, a Nazi, whatever other term they use for men that just love the Lord. But don't let them call you unfaithful. And that's the main lesson for everybody, women included. As we have our Mother's Day, one of the articles that came out the last couple of days before Mother's Day, Dr. Anthony Fauci and his National Institute of Health, I believe it's called, one of the most powerful medical and research institutions in our nation, they were supplying money for experiments on fetuses, you know, babies that were slaughtered, and they showed the picture. You could find it online. They actually are scalping infants. They're scalping these children, and they're taking their scalps with their hair on it, the patches of hair, and they are attaching it to mice to see if the hair can grow and survive on mice. So you actually have mice now in the lab in the United States of America with the heads, the scalps of murdered children through abortion. So we know they use all their body parts for experimentation, eyes, liver, spines. You can order these things by catalog, actually, if you're a medical research institution. But so this is what's happening around our Mother's Day. So this is what a bunch of hypocrites our nation has become. And this is what we've done to our women, even in the church, by not leading them, by wanting to be the nice guy, so much so that they don't even want to marry us anymore, let alone have children with us. So we need to teach our men, our young men, be a man of faith, have conviction. And when a woman knows that you don't worship her and you worship God first and you actually care about her enough to correct her at times, you'll find a good wife and you'll find the woman that respects you enough to actually have a family with you. So this is the situation in our nation right now. Let's go to our text. And as we look at our text, Judges chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 through 5. God has this problem with his people at times. Now, Judges chapter 2, as we're going to see, summarizes the entire book. But let's read verses 1 through 5. And an angel of the Lord came up to Gilgal, to Bochim, and said, I made you to go up out of Egypt, and have brought you unto the land which I swear unto your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you, and you shall make no league with the inhabitants of this land. You shall throw down their altars. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Why have ye done this? Wherefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be as thorns in your sides, and that God shall be a snare unto you. And it came to pass, when the angel of the Lord spake these words unto all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And they called the name of that place Bochim, and they sacrificed there unto the Lord. So if you remember where we are in the book of Judges from last week, we've gone through chapter 1. And chapter 1, remember, the book of Joshua and Judges, they're a twin book. All the promises that God made to Abraham, to the Hebrew people, that he would give them a land, a beautiful land, as an inheritance, it's coming true. But what's the problem with the people? Well, just like the church, Christians like us in the New Testament, God is promising us the world, but we're not mature enough to handle it. We don't have enough faith. We haven't done the preparation. So here we have God handing us a place to conquer, but we've become soft and we're not able to conquer it. So the book of Judges, this chapter, chapter 2, summarizes the message of the whole book. God's people, through disobedience, break the covenant. Now, this is a cycle. I gave you a picture, a diagram on the outline. So you understand, the cycle in the book of Judges is like a cycle in our life many times. And that's why we need Christ. But what happens is the people, they fall into sin, which leads to slavery. They ask the Lord for deliverance. God sends a judge to deliver them. And then the cycle is repeated 12 times. Now, one thing we need to answer is this angel of the Lord that appears in this chapter. The angel of the Lord is explaining the horrible consequences of disobedience in the beginning of this chapter, chapter 2. So the angel of the Lord is a special messenger. The name angel in the Hebrew, malak, is a word where it just means messenger. But when you see that term, the angel of the Lord, theologians have argued about it, but this is either God the Father appearing to his people or Jesus Christ, God the Son, before he took on flesh. This is Jesus in the Old Testament, literally appearing and speaking with people. So God has spoke with people before. He even mentions in his word about how it was different with the way he spoke to Moses. He spoke to him face to face. So when the angel of the Lord appears in Scripture, which is almost 60 times in the Old Testament, pay attention. This is God himself in person, physically there, speaking to his people, giving a message to the people. It's very important. And in Judges chapter 2, God is disappointed. God told Israel, if you want to possess this land, I want it to be a holy land. I want you to be separated from the Satanists in the land that sacrifice their children, that sacrifice each other, that eat each other, that have sex with animals and with children and with strange flesh. I want these people away from you. So when you take this land, they have a choice. They can run away and leave, and you give them a chance to leave and take their stuff and get out of the land. But if they refuse and challenge you, I want them destroyed. God gave these Satanists in Canaan 450 years to change their ways, and it didn't happen. And now judgment is coming. And the Israel, the Hebrews, were to be God's judgment. But what do? Well, they want to be nice, as we'll see. You know, they want to play nice with these people. And it actually haunts them for the rest of the history of the nation, much like in America. We want to be nice. We allow all these different groups to say what they want and influence our children and to embed themselves not only in the nation, but in the church, and we're paying for it now. So we don't want to be the nice guy. We want to be the faithful guy. Who cares what people say about us, as long as we're being faithful? Now, that doesn't mean, as Paul said, we don't season our speech with salt, and we don't try and be merciful and polite in our speech. But you can do all those things and still not be considered nice. Because the definition of nice today in our culture is to lay down and let people step all over you. And it's funny how non-Christians, people who don't believe, they don't know any doctrine of the Bible. They don't even know the Ten Commandments, what Christ taught us. But they know that Jesus said, turn the other cheek. And again, unfortunately, many people in the church take that out of context. Idiomatic expressions, simile, metaphor, these are figures of speech. The challenge in reading the Bible is not that it's so hard to understand, but some of the expressions we have to learn. So Jesus saying to turn the other cheek, obviously, that was a figure of speech. And he was saying that with those that we interact with when we can, don't make a blood feud, this big war, out of every offense. You know, tolerate the things that you can. Have a spirit of mercy and meekness when you can. But this doesn't mean that we lay down and let people step all over us or compromise things like justice and righteousness. Because remember, Jesus also said that if your eye offends thee, pull it out of your head. And he also said, if your hand offends thee, to chop it off, or even your foot. If you're going to do something, cut off your foot if it's going to lead you to offense. Now, obviously, we don't see Christians walking around without their eyes and without their hands, with their hands chopped off, because again, it's a figure of speech. But people like to play games with the scripture. So it gives Christians an excuse to be liked and to be soft. So they like to pull out that scripture, turn the other cheek. And people in the world like to use that against us. But the Bible is a complete book with figures of speech. And this is the way God is speaking to people so they can understand it. Jesus Christ, his favorite people in the Bible were the centurions. These were brutal men. These were your war veterans of the Roman Empire. These were not soft people. But we need to use good judgment as men, but it doesn't mean that we're soft. Now, this angel of the Lord was God himself communicating. And we're going to see that if you turn to Exodus chapter 3 with me. I'll show you that when we see the angel of the Lord, it's a special thing. And if we go to Exodus chapter 3, let us look at verses 1 through 9. And we'll read that together. And we'll see how this fits in also with the book of Judges. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. Here we go, that expression, angel of the Lord. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And he continues in the dialogue with Moses, and he tells him, And I come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land, and unto a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. So here we see in Exodus, this promise made to Moses is coming true in Joshua and now in the book of Judges where we're reading. God is giving them this strip of land, like we said, not the whole world, roughly the size of the state of New Jersey today. God's giving them this land to possess, but they have to be brave. They have to fight for the Lord. Just like us in the church today, it's not going to be easy. When you challenge an enemy, they don't just lay down before your feet. God guarantees victory, but it's going to be a struggle. And you need to be faithful during that struggle. So when you read in your Bible in the Old Testament, angel of the Lord, this is God himself speaking in person. God is showing himself to whoever he's speaking to. And we see that when God says sends a regular angel, a malach, a regular angel, but it's not the angel of the Lord, a regular messenger, you'll never see people worship that angel. When the angel of the Lord appears, people look at this messenger as if it's God himself. And we see this in the Word. And we see in the Old Testament, when people have spoken with the angel of the Lord, they were afraid they were going to die because it was well known if you saw God's face, there was a good chance you were going to die. So this is a special expression. We need to understand this. So God himself comes and tells the tribes of Israel in the book of Judges, he's not happy with them. He's already breaking his commandments and playing nice. The leaders of Israel, they're being the nice guy with these tribes. And they were never supposed to be that way. So that's our first point. Moving on. Second point in our sermon, nice guys finish last, is an expression that in context is absolutely true. God asks us to be faithful concerning his commands, regardless of how the world views us. Men especially are to be known as a faithful guy, more than a nice guy. King Saul lost everything being a nice guy to rebellious people when he was supposed to lead. Don't look for the approval of men or women or children and compromise God's commands or compromise the place of leadership as a man of faith that God has put you in. Let people talk about you. Let them say how horrible you are. But as long as they're saying that because you're being godly and you're telling them the right thing to do, so be it. Who cares? We have to get over this. And especially in this church, in the age of social media, where people will sell their soul, literally, to the devil, just to get likes on their YouTube or Facebook page, whatever else there is today. People will pull stunts, be disgusting, perverted, just to get likes, to get views. We can't adopt that standard in the church. So my job is not to be popular. My job is to be faithful, even if I get a thumbs down and not a thumbs up. Because as we had some precious people that we know pass away recently, friends of the congregation, I don't want that on my conscience, that when people pass on and have to face the Lord, that I said anything unfaithful as minister. I warned them. I was faithful in the way I brought the word. And praise God, because all of us, including myself, are going to die someday and have to face the one who made us. And we pray that there are always those that are faithful, friends, family, that know what God wants from us and tell us what he wants from us, even if we don't want to hear it. So that's our goal, to be faithful. So let's go to this story about merry old King Saul. 1 Samuel chapter 15. If you remember, Saul was made king of Israel. God raised him up, but he was a character. Saul really started to like himself, and he liked to be popular amongst the people. And the people could stroke his ego and get what they wanted from him. And he makes a deadly mistake, is wanting to be the nice guy to the people, the popular guy. He actually lost his throne. He lost the kingdom. So 1 Samuel chapter 15, let's read verses 10 through 23 together. Remember, that's in the Old Testament, 1 Samuel 15. 10 through 23, Samuel, who was a faithful messenger of God, faithful prophet, leading Saul, and he loved Saul. So he was faithful to Saul, but Saul didn't listen to him. Samuel was not a nice guy. Samuel was a faithful guy, and God was able to use him. We'll see that Saul wanted to be the nice guy. So we're told, then came the word of the Lord unto Samuel, saying, it repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned his back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And when Samuel rose early to meet Saul in the morning, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and has gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, what meanest then, one of the most famous parts of Scripture, this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Remember, Saul was supposed to win this victory and slaughter everything, kill everything. Well, Saul, for the people, didn't mind killing the people, but he kept the animals because the people wanted the goods, but none of it was supposed to be kept. So Saul's trying to make like he's this nice guy. We'll see in the narrative. So Paul had a Saul. Paul was once Saul. But because Saul had no problem killing the people, but he kept the goods, especially the animals, because the people of Israel wanted it, he made a problem. And Samuel's saying, if you followed all God's commands, why do I hear all these animals? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God. Again, making excuses. The people are so holy that they wanted to keep the animals. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. And Samuel said, this is God's message to Saul the king. When thou was little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people, see, God's not going to listen to this, men, when we don't lead. You can't blame your wife. You can't blame your children. You can't blame, quote, the people. It's you. It's your job to follow God's commands, even if they're unpopular. But the people took of the spoil sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? And one of the most important lines in the whole Bible, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Wanting to be the nice guy, using the excuse of the people, they're just so scary, you didn't want to be mean to them, you didn't want them to not like you, he broke the commands that God gave him. We as Christians, men and women, are in positions to spread the gospel, to teach people how God would want them to live. Don't destroy the ministry that God's given you, the calling, just to be called nice. God wants obedience. He doesn't need you to do what many deceived people have done in church history in different denominations, what Martin Luther famously was doing to himself. He doesn't need monks to beat themselves when they feel sinful or lustful. He doesn't need you to walk over rough rocks up to a shrine of a saint. He just needs you to obey. And that's exactly what we don't want to do. We want to put on this show for God. Meanwhile, we're just having a party and not listening to him. Just like the people of Israel wanted to do under King Saul. They wanted those sacrifices because, if you remember, once you sacrifice something to the Lord as a peace offering, you could also eat it. So the people are feasting on the best of the animals, and Saul tries to play it off like, well, it was sacrificed unto the Lord. God doesn't want you to have a party. He wants you to be faithful. Follow his commands. That's why we're in the problem that we have the problems we have today. We are losing our country. because pastors don't want to preach the word of God because they're afraid to be called racist or a homophobe. Now it's transphobic, as if we're actually scared of gay people or transgender people. So because you don't want to be called names, you want to be seen as the nice person, you give up the entire faith. You hand your family, your church, everything over to the devil on a plate because you don't want to stand up to these people and be faithful. Call me a racist. Call me a Nazi. Call me whatever you want. Just don't call me unfaithful. And one thing I am not is a communist. Communism, Satanism, these secret societies, it's all the same thing. It's man placing himself above God. And we need to stand up for the faith. Our country is in trouble. We rightfully defeated the National Socialists in Germany. So we bragged about defeating the Nazis, but we handed 600 million people, including Poland and other territories, over to the communists after the war. And we keep giving to the communists. And we wake up today, and on this Lord's Day, what most people don't even care about the Lord's Day, oh, it's Mother's Day, that's the most important thing. We're in a communist country now. We're in a godless and faithless country. And it's going to take a real struggle and sacrifice to get this nation back to the Lord. This perversion, this homosexuality, the destruction of the family, the destruction of the church, this is what communists do before you wind up in a camp. It's happening here now. So we need to be faithful. We need to stand up to these people. And it starts with your witness, your personal witness and testimony. So we see that being nice is not our goal. Being faithful is our goal. And the last point we'll make, and this is our hope in Christ. Even during the worst moments in our walk with God, we can always repent in the name of Jesus Christ. We all break God's covenant, but there is mercy in the name of Jesus. He is the rock who can sustain us in the desert of this present life. When you sin, when you fall on your face, you can call on God. This is one of the lessons of the book of Judges that sometimes we overlook. Yes, the people are a mess, but the reason why God continually delivers them is they do call on his name. When they've fallen on their face, when they've broken the covenant, and slavery has taken them, they call on his name, and our Father is merciful. He will deliver us. And the United States of America, just like the Hebrew peoples in the book of Judges, we have fallen on our face. We have desecrated the name of God. We have no God in this nation. We're changing our God for strange gods, for Satan, for the God of Freemasonry, the great architect of the universe. And we need to get the God of the Bible back in this nation. We need to fall on our face and call on his name. And the same in Europe and the same everywhere in the West right now. We have a wicked, satanic elite that love communism because it will keep them in power forever. They are the new royalty. So we need to stand up against this. We need to stand up to wickedness in the church and our wicked leaders in the church who want to be the nice guys. And they will finish last in this life and in the next for compromising God's word. But remember, that angel of the Lord and the one that was leading them in the wilderness, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. You might say, how so? What proof do I have? Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. This is the last part of scripture that we'll read today. This is verses 1 through 13. This is Paul commenting on the journey in the wilderness. and speaking about the children of Israel. And who was the real person that sustained them? Who was the Messiah? The Lord Jesus Christ. He'll explain it to us. So I don't need the Talmud. I don't need the Rambam, Moses de Maimon, Maimonides. Paul is the inspired rabbi that we have in the New Testament. And he explains it to us. What does he tell us? Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. And that rock was Christ. So Paul's telling us that being that was sustaining them in the desert was Jesus Christ. It was the Jewish Messiah. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, of some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let them that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Don't say that God has deserted us and put us in this situation. We did it. We deserted God's principles. You forgot, many of you in the church, that there is a constant war for our souls, for our minds, for our bodies, and we became comfortable in the world. So now, as we have our new communist revolution here in the country, all these things were done according to plan, perverting our children, perverting our media, our music, our movies, making people mindless, making people chase after money. As the famous communist Lenin said, we will sell the capitalists the rope that we will hang them with, meaning they knew the weakness of the capitalist system, that if you're able to get God out of the equation, there's no restraint. And all people do is lust after things and stuff. And that's what we've done. We've sold our souls for a credit card. We've sold our souls for easy money, for compound interest. Christian Europe used to ban everything you see. All the payday loans, all the wicked banks like Chase Manhattan, the Rockefeller Bank, all the money, that the funny money that they make. You have people who are billionaires over just money changing. They do nothing. They grow nothing. They produce nothing. This is what Martin Luther spoke about, the usury. And if we want to have our nation back, we're going to have to ban usury again and get back to God's commands. So let's learn the word. Let's apply it. Men, stand up for the faith. Stop being so nice and be more faithful. And who cares what they say about us? Let them know that we care about them enough to correct them. And we'll end our word on that note. And God bless everyone. May the Lord have mercy on us as we have forfeited our own promised land here in the United States, the land of milk and honey. May God have mercy on us. and show us a way to get back to him. Amen. Lord Jesus, we ask that you show us mercy, Lord. We ask the Father in your name, show us, Lord, guide us. Guide us like children. Take us by the hand. Show us your principles again. Show the men in the church how to lead their families, how to be leaders in the church, and also to fulfill their calling in the world. We ask, Lord, even if this nation were to break up, that you would give your Christian people a part of this land to be able to come out of Egypt, to step out of Mystery Babylon, for us to have a place to worship, to call on your name. We're sorry, Lord, for all that we have squandered. We are sorry, Lord, for being men that wanted to be seen as nice, but not faithful. Giving everything, including evil things, to our women, to our children, just to make them happy, or just to get what we wanted from them. We ask, Lord, that you make us mature again. And we call out, Lord, to you, just like your children, your people in the book of Judges. We ask, Lord, we call out to you that, again, you would send the Lord Jesus Christ in time and history by his power and the power of the Holy Ghost, that we would get our nation back and our church back, if it be your will. We ask, Lord, that you protect us until we meet again as your people. And we pray, Lord, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. God bless you. God bless you, Fellowship Baptist Church. God bless you, friends of the ministry. Enjoy the rest of your day, your Sabbath day. Stay focused on God's word. Amen.